Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to go back this morning. We've been teaching. I didn't know if I was going to stay this long in this subject, but there's things God wants to say in this, dealing with the three parts of faith. Started off in the beginning, we used a scripture from Hebrews, which really sort of a foundational scripture dealing with the areas of faith was Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and we verses 1 through 3, which says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." And so we're dealing with the subject of faith. First of all, faith is a difficult thing, especially from the flesh standpoint, because when we're talking about faith, we're talking about we're believing things that you cannot see at the present time. You believe them. You know, the seeing Father God, I don't know, I haven't seen Him. So we're believing a God you can't see. Now, Jesus walked the earth in that stuff, raised from the dead. Sometimes Jesus has appeared. But Jesus said this after His resurrection. He said to Thomas, He said, "Blessed is the guy who don't see and believes." See, I'm blessed because I didn't see Him and I believe on Him. The disciples were not the blessed ones because they saw Him. Now, I know that there's a throat at the church. I mean, you know, we got Peter's tomb and we got Peter's bones and we got all those. Those are really important to people. No, what's important is the ones who didn't see and believe. And so we believe the Word, and that's where faith comes from. Faith takes things that are in the unseen realm and brings them to the seen realm. That's what this is all about. Faith takes things of God. It's like Mike had made mention here about the blessing. We have all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places, and we want to take those blessings and make them a reality into the earth. That's what we're doing. Faith does that. Faith takes the things of God and makes them a reality into the earth. So we're dealing with the unseen area, and that's a very difficult thing for people to do. People want to see something. They want to feel something. They want to have that. And many times people's faith runs on that. You know, whether or not they can believe something is, especially when it comes to faith and patience inheriting the promise. Sometimes it's very difficult for people in those areas because being impatient, you know, they have to see something to keep going. It's hard for them to just say, "Hey, the Word's enough." It's one of the things you got to keep yourself focused on what the Word says. This is one of the things that's dealing with faith. First of all, we talked about faith of the heart. It's of the spirit of man. Faith's not of the mind. It's not a mental thing. It's of the heart. It's what one believes in their heart and then says with their mouth. We aren't going to go back through all the teaching. Faith starts off with believing in your heart. Doesn't matter what you're saying with your mouth. If it ain't in your heart, it's not going to produce anything but noise. Faith produces. Now, if you keep saying things long enough and you listen to it, this one thing is I've learned this over the years. There's people who talk all the time and don't listen to a thing they say. And they don't ever believe anything you say because they never pay no attention to what's coming out of their mouth. So it's a good thing to learning to confess the Word because you can get it into your heart in that manner. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Many times the problems that people have in the area of faith people, they're making statements and they say they're statements of faith, but they haven't made a faith statement yet. They're still trying to get to the point to believe it. Once you believe it, you don't have to say it 20 times to bring it to happen. You only got to say it one time. And it'll come to pass. You only got to say it one time. It'll come to pass. But you got to believe it in your heart and say it through your mouth. Those two must be connected. And this is where people have problems. They run around and make confessions and they're trying to convince themselves. Now, it is a good thing once you believed is to do this for yourself. Remind yourself with what you're believing for in the scripture you're standing on. And say that. Fortify your faith. There's nothing wrong with doing that. But just making confessions and thinking, if I say this enough, it's going to come to pass. That is not the way faith works. Faith does not work by just saying something over and over and over and over. I saw a major faith minister back in the 80s made this statement that he said, after I confess something, he said, and he literally said this, like it was 400 some times. I thought, you counted it? Or are you just lying to us? But he said, after I said that, so forth, then it came to pass. Well, I found people bought that, what he said, and I started hearing people say, you know, just keep saying it, it'll come to pass, just keep saying it. That's not faith. It's not faith. When you got it, you got it. When you know it belongs to you, and you've said it, it's yours. You don't want to get over there. That thing will work if I say it enough. Now, one of the things that the Lord wanted me to spend time and emphasis on, and we have, is in the areas of acting on the Word. Because that's the third part of faith. Many people lose it by believing the Word. They say it, but then their actions kill their faith. They act in an opposite way of what they say they believe. Your actions can put you over or put you under. How you act after, you know, I hear people sometimes say they believe they receive something. Now, when we say faith, we're talking about saying we believe we receive something from God. We believe we receive it. When you believe you receive it, you believe you got it, you believe it's yours. Say, but I don't feel it yet. No, but you got to act like you received it. Wouldn't hurt to get a smile on your face. Wouldn't hurt to act like you got something. See, the first thing is I do when I believe in something and I receive from God, the first thing I do, thank you, Lord God, for giving it to me. I just appreciate it so much. First thing, I don't wait till I get it. When it shows up, I don't have to thank God because I've done thanked Him 47 times for giving me all this time along there. I keep doing that. When it shows up, I've done the Thanksgiving thing. Most people will never say thank you to God till after it shows up. They never act like it was given to them. They never act like it. Majority of Christians get things from by the mercy of God and not by faith. Thank God He's merciful. If you ever haven't gotten anything because He's merciful, well, at least if you don't think you did, you're a liar. Because God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Hallelujah. He helps dummies, I know. I know for a fact. See, sometimes God does things by mercy when people act like it's their faith. Understand that it's important that we understand and operating in these areas of faith, of learning to walk by faith. Now, I'm going to read you from James. We did this before, but I want you to get a hold of James said in James, the second chapter, starting in verse 14. We have used this before, but I want a reminder a day because of talking about this is acting in line with the Word of God. How important this is. Hallelujah. In James, the second chapter, in verse 14, James says this, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him?" He has two questions. We talked that before. He says, what is it good? See, if you don't have works. And the other act, in other words, there's something that you do. In other words, true faith will always lead you to do something. It will. It'll lead you to act in a certain manner. If you believe you receive something from God, it's going to automatically. If you be God's going to take care of something for you, it should change attitudes. It should do all kinds of things for you. You shouldn't be walking around fearful, wringing your hands. Amen. There are actions of unbelief. There are actions that you don't believe God's helping you. Now, this is one of the things. You may be in a situation where it does look bad. But you have to walk by faith. You walk like you believe God's helping you instead of looking at the situation and continue looking at it. You know, in these areas of faith, Fred Price, I remember him telling a thing one time is when he first started off in Christianity and got the message of faith in Christ, he had a lump formed on his chest. And he said it was very painful. Every time he touched it, it really hurt. And he said, he was believing God and this thing, and he would keep watching and look at it. And one day he got a revelation. He's got, you know, I got to quit looking at this thing all the time. Because see, this thing was keeping on his mind. You know, this is one thing. I watch people do this. If they have a problem, a medical problem, all they do is focus on that problem. And then they talk about believing God, and I always think, ain't going to work. Because they're always focused on the thing. That's where their focus ain't on what they said they believe God's doing. It becomes, why? It's so easy to spend time looking at that thing or that problem or that ache or pain or whatever it is. Spend your time there. See, get over the natural side. Well, he said, so he got over the thing. He said, I got to quit. You know, I got to stop this thing. I believe I received my healing and I got to quit checking this thing. And he said he made specific attempts not to look at that thing. And he said sometimes he'd go in and take a shower and he'd touch that. He's like, oh, they'd come back. He'd say, I'll pray. Then he'd just thank God I received my healing. Thank God I got it. And he said he never paid attention. He didn't know what happened. But he said one day he was taking a shower and he said, I took a shower and all of a sudden I realized I washed and I didn't really pay attention about staying away from that spot. I didn't pay attention to that. And he looked and it was gone. And he said, I don't know when it left, but It left. See, he did. And I remember him. I was a young Christian. I heard him talking about that. It's what you focus on. See, do you focus on what you said you believe you receive in God? What are you focusing on? What are you spending your time looking at? And so these are things that have to do with actions. Actions, and I can say, that either put you over or under. The first thing the Lord taught me in the areas of faith, which I always talk about, is when Kenneth Hagin was teaching, I was only a few months old as a Christian, listening to him talking about acting in faith, and it just didn't ring a bell to me of what to do. And I asked, Lord, what does he mean about action, acting in faith? What does he mean? And that's when I had the incident a couple months later where I woke up in the morning to go to work, and man, they use the term sick as a dog, you know, one of those dogs. I don't know what sick of a dog is. I've never seen a dog sick like I was. Anyhow, I was just feeling terrible. And I remember laying there in the bed, and I quoted 1 Peter 2:24 to myself. And I just want to thank God that I was healed. And this, I never said this, but this thought just went through my mind. You know, God knows what you think. Boy, that's scary, ain't it? He does. I never said it. He knew what I thought. This thought went through my mind. I'm going to call off work sick, and I'll just believe God that I'm healed. That thought went through my mind. And when that thought went through my mind, a voice said to me, do you believe 1 Peter 2:24? And I'm there laying on the bed. Wanda's laying in the bed beside me. She's sleeping. I'm over here, you know, 5:30 in the morning to get out of bed, and I'm laying there. And I said, yes, Lord. I said, I do. And I quoted it. I quoted it to him. And he said, well, if you believe you're healed, why don't you get up and act like it? Well, that changed everything, because I ain't even heard anybody say that before. He said, well, why don't you get up and act like it? I thought, boy, why don't you tell somebody else that? He'll talk to you. Well, I remember laying there, and I thought, well, if I believe I received something, then I need to act like I received something. And you know what? I got out of bed and didn't feel a bit better. I got ready for work and didn't feel a bit better. Went down, got in my car to go to work and didn't feel a bit better. Driving to work, as I went along, I started feeling better. When I got to work, every symptom left my body. Now, I ain't saying because my faith was so great, but he taught me something, and he's teaching me. And I want you to understand this. This is how you go to great faith. If you're only in an operation of faith where everything's comfortable, you're always going to have little faith. I'm just telling you, you're always going to have. Thank God those times when you get something happens instantly for you, and that's but normally that's the way it never works. You know, we lay hands on the sick, and it said, then they get healed instantly. It said, no, they recover. See, you got to walk, and there's things you can do. As I found this out some years back, he talked to me about over the years that I'd learned of doing. He said, you do extreme things. When it comes to faith, you do extreme things. And he spoke to me about this, and he said, it's similar to the working of miracles. In the working of miracles, somebody does something that causes a miracle to take place. He said, you do extreme things that caused you to have really miraculous things and healing. He said, it's very similar to that. So you do things that cause, in other words, I found this out, there's things that you can do can bring things about quicker. Or you can do things that slow things down and keep them coming from you. See, people don't realize this. People stand in faith. Sometimes a person's healing's right at the door, but they never cross the threshold. They just keep staying over. They won't go this spot. Kenneth Hagin said this, great, great faith comes from great trials. If you have not gone through great trials, you don't know anything about great faith. Now, everybody starts off with little stuff. Everybody starts off in that field. When I got saved, Wanda and I started off in little things. But I found this out. When I had a desire to move to a higher level of faith, greater things came along that I had to deal with. God, and many times God was leading me. You know, don't ask for great faith if you don't want to get, if you don't want to go into any kind of great trials, don't go into any kind. If you don't want to face anything, if you don't want to have great faith, don't ask God to have, to lead you in the area to great faith if you don't want to face stuff. Because he will lead you into areas where it's going to require you to push something a little further. Beyond where you walked before. That's the way it is. See, God did that. Financially, Wanda and I went through that. We went through the areas of giving, where you stretch them further and further, and it gets uncomfortable. Now, we weren't even born again. Let's see, I got born in January, and by August, God spoke to me in a meeting and told us to give away all the money we had. But see, I pushed into things. God started pushing me into things, and I started seeing how this worked, and I wanted to go further, and you know what? He pushed me further. He pushed me into a place where there was discomfort. See, your flesh is going to get uncomfortable about faith. That's why the faith is called a fight. It is not called a really great time and having a wonderful deal going on. It's called a good fight. Why? Faith fight, if you stay with it, you'll win it. That's a good, any fight you can win is a good one. Ask any boxer. Any fight he can win, you know, it's nice when you knock him out in the second round. But sometimes you got to go the 14, 15 rounder. You go the whole way and you get punched numbers of times. But if you can win this thing and get out of the ring, it's woo-hoo-hoo, I get the prize. Glory to God. Everybody wants the prize, but most people don't want the fight. Because the fight is about what you do after you said you believed. After that thing, when you said you believed in your heart and you made that confession, now the fight starts. And if you want something great, it's going to cause a greater, you know, thing, something to go a little bit further, something to move a little bit further. I just want to share with you something. I have them, they're back here and get it. Ken Kasich sent me a thing, and Ken's wife, Denny, has been going through really very serious health problems, very serious. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. I got them back here. You can read it. It's a good testimony of what God did. But see, she was in a bad trouble. Health-wise and that stuff. I mean, he was talking about her blood pressure, like the top number was up to 200. You know, this is stroke kind of stuff going on. You know, but see, one of the things that is what are you going to do? What are you going to do if you have a problem? It's like I say completely, now this is just the area of healing. Now, can you give the money? But healing, how much do you really want to get well? How important is this? See, people tell you it's important. But I find out with a lot of people. I mean, I have done funerals for people who said they really wanted healing well, but would not cross a certain line to get it. They wouldn't cross a certain line. They wouldn't they wanted to get, I want healed if I can keep as comfortable as possible. If I can stay in the area. I don't want to step out there where I have to throw me aside and throw yourself on the Lord. I don't want to go there. I don't want to go to that spot. Well, no, here he is dealing with his wife. Now, he went and he traveled there from Texas. They traveled down to Florida. He took her. Now, this is a very difficult trip because she's in really bad health. But he went down to Rodney Howard Brown in his church, had a week of, they had a healing school going on. And so, you know, now this is, people will do this. People go to the hospital for weeks. But I found this out. Very few sick Christians will go to a meeting and sit for weeks. They won't do that. They'll take medication for the rest of their life. They'll just do it and do it. Now I'm just, now look, I'm not against doctors and things, but I'm telling you, do you want to be healed? Do you want it just like, or financially, what do you want? See, it's one thing as they found out, and I'm just going to tell you this. I found out in action-wise, if you're having problem with your seeing and whatever's going on around you, many times you need to get away from where you are and the people you're around, you need to get away from them. I've learned it over the years. You know, this one thing is I attend meetings. I go to meetings. I get away from where I'm at. I get away and get in a different place where I don't have the things around me that I like and I'm just comfortable with. This is what people want. Everybody want to have, stay, I want to stay comfortable. That's what keeps you bound. Your actions are keeping you bound. Your actions keep you in a position where it's hard to God to reach you because you stay in your comfort zone. You stay in your place of comfort. Your place of comfort can be something that's really hinders your faith or your ability to hear from God because faith is just not me making a confession. The Bible, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. It didn't say as many as make good confessions are sons of God. Because this is about hearing. If you're in a situation and you need something changed, you need to change. I found this out with myself. Change usually doesn't come till Ed changes. See, people People like to stay within their nice little zones. And see, I find out when you get away and I get away from my things, you know, it's good to get away from your phone. It's good to get away from all this stuff. See, if I go this way, I have all this to do. You know, when I leave and I come back, there's nobody to take my place. Anything that wasn't done, I got to catch up when I come back. So, you know, if I go on vacation, I come back to 2 weeks of work if I go away for a week. And you know what? I don't care. I'm going to go. Then if I'm going to go sit and listen to meetings, I know I'll have more work and I got to jam things in and I got to do that. But there's a benefit to that discomfort. And I've watched it over the years and I've watched myself get it. And I watch people who don't, who are always trying to stay within that comfort, within that zone of where they are, where they feel good at and where they do. And sometimes you just got to step out of that place. And that's what they did here. You know, they traveled 1,400 miles. You go do that. It is discomforting. It's not easy to do. It's a problem. You have a person, Ken's riding with his wife. His wife's there in the car beside him. And like she's in a position to have a stroke is what she's in. And that wasn't the only condition she had. And she had these things, I mean, her life threatening. But it's number one. This is what I found out happens with people. People many times don't believe that if they do something like that, it'll work. That's their problem. People make many confessions of faith, but really don't believe it's going to work. They really don't. Over the years, I've had this. I've tried to get people to go to places that were holding a meeting, you know, and healing and that stuff. Tried to get people to, and could not get them. And I did their funeral. And it'll happen again. Why? Because they'll tell you why they can't do it. Oh, they'll take a vacation and go do something else. But they can't do that. Well, I have this to do and I have that to do. And I have this to do and I have that to do. See, sometimes, you need to get yourself, do you know that you're really in faith? Sometimes you got to get yourself in a position to know, hey, where am I standing in this thing? Sometimes we stand in faith as far as we know. I was in faith. I remember this and hearing it when I was a young Christian. And Kenneth Hagin talked about when he was on the deathbed as a kid, on the deathbed. And he was talking about being in faith concerning healing. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him and said, yeah, you're in faith as far as you know. And he said he realized this when he said that. Then there's something he doesn't know about faith that he needs to know. He thought he was in faith. And when God revealed something to him, he found out he hadn't been in faith. See, if you can't be taught by the Holy Spirit, it's easy to stand here and listen to me teach you and talk to you. But it's another thing for you to listen to the Holy Ghost. Most people never develop that skill. Because why? It takes time. You got to get away from things. Hey, it's uncomfortable. I got to give up my time. I like it when I can just go sit down and do nothing. You know, I just want to go, you know. We're leisure people. We love our leisure. You know, we live in a nation that's trying to figure out how people can work less hours and make more money to our destruction. We want people more leisure. Leisure America is destructive. It's destructive. Were people less spiritual years ago when they worked hard? That's why you can never take the army of America today and send them into the Second World War. The Germans would overrun us in 2 seconds. And America would be flying Nazi flags and we'd all be, you know, Heil Hitler. Why? We're the comfort people. We're the comfort. And it's easy to get into that. You know, you got to, there's things that you have to learn to face. It's just like when I looked at this and I said, I just thank God. But anyhow, she ended up getting a miraculous healing, completely well, of all the stuff that she had, all the symptoms left, by going and sitting. Do you think it was easy for her going sitting in after meeting after meeting? Oh, people sit in doctor's office after doctor's office. They'll go do that. They feel, why? Because they feel secure there. That's a comfort place. Because they have a physical doctor they can touch. Jesus ain't that real. Now look, I'm getting real, folks. This is the way, you got to deal with yourself. I've had to deal with myself. Is Jesus real or not? Sometimes you come down to that where you have to ask yourself, yeah, I know how to blow the wind, but am I really believing it? Is Jesus really real? Is he really the healer they say he is? Is this really true? You got to come to this stuff. If you ain't ever run into that, you ain't ever done much about faith. I've run into it a number of times. Well, I had to stop and say, Ed, where are you at in this thing, in this believing thing? Where are you? Are you really in this? Do you really believe what you're saying? Do you really believe it in your heart? Are you willing to stand on this thing? Are you willing to move on it? See, you have to come to that. I'm not trying, it's just the way the system works. Now, I know, I mean, you go to most places. It's one thing, see, is this is the problem. Most people listen to seminar teachers. You know what seminar teachers, now, there's not bad. God has people do seminars. Seminars are this. They just go tell you the one side of something, and it's usually the really good, fun side. But they don't tell you the other side of it. You're supposed to be taught that in churches, and that's why people like seminars and not churches. Because any good pastor is going to tell you the other side of it. Kenneth Hagin told us. He said, you pastors, he said, you're the daddies in the family. You guys do the fixing and the correcting. You don't ship it off to a seminar. See, today that ain't popular, so most pastors ain't quit being pastors because they've got to pat people and pet people all the time. You don't ever spank nobody. Because you start spanking and the big babies run. You can't tell. You hurt my feelings when you said that. Oh my. So, but anyhow, thank God. So I want you to get a read. It's a good testimony. It's also a testimony about God moving down there, their evangelism school down there. But I wanted you to get this, because this is what we're talking about. There's things many times that you have to do. There's a pushing. It isn't, you know, how many times I've watched this and that stuff. You know, there's meetings and things that are available, and people, I've had people over the years many times say, oh, well, I don't want to go there. You know, I just going and sitting in those meetings, I just can't do that. I can't. Oh, well, you'll sit in the hospital. You're going to sit somewhere. You're going to sit someplace. We can't go do things. You can't have time to go sit in the Word. See, we have this thing, well, we're going to put it in your home, and we're just going to... No, sometimes you're going to have to get off your lazy rear end. Off of your rear end where you're sitting around saying something, and you're going to have to do something about it. It ain't going to happen till you get up and go do it. You can't rely on the TV and on your phone and, well, I listen to so-and-so and phone. You're going to have to... I'm telling you this. There's anointings you will never get till you go to the presence of the person with the anointing. It will never happen to you. You will never get it off of television. And you'll never get it off your phone. You'll never get it off. You're going to have to go. Amen. Say, God, can I... Why would God send me? I had all kind of tapes and things of Kenneth Hagin. But the teaching anointing, he said, no, 1983, go out to Kenneth Hagin camp meeting. He said, I want to give you an anointing out there. I had to go sit in prayer. I had to sit there for a week. And you know what? I went out there and got there and started. The thing started on a Sunday night and then went through. And it wasn't until the following Saturday that I got the anointing, until it came on Saturday afternoon. I had to sit through all them meetings. See, and you got to pay money, go stay in hotels, do all this stuff. Is it worth it? Not to most people. It's not worth it if it costs me out of my pocket. Let me tell you, I've spent a lot of money. I have spent a lot of money following things. I've had this over the years, and I quit doing it. People that spend a lot of money on books and stuff and lend them to people and never get them back and say to them, you never gave me the book back. Well, you never gave me that book. So I do this with this people. Buy your own darn book. You want it? Buy your own. You ain't investing in it. You won't get out of it what I do, because I got the investment in it plus the knowledge of the book. I'm ahead of you by a mile. Just telling you how it works. It's all these people waiting for a lending library. Go buy this stuff and have your own library. Amen. Invest in it. Amen. Invest in things, folks. This is the works of the ministry. This is what works. Acting like something, that thing's valuable. You treat things of God as they have value. Don't be surprised it comes and jumps on you. Amen. Hallelujah. And you will have those things of value. We want to do them. You know, it's like today. Somebody goes and gets an education and everybody wants everything they got without getting the education. Whatever somebody else put their time into. It never works that way. It don't happen like that. And so, but this is that. We have this, you know, socialism. I just call it downright communism is what it is. This idea is you get to have what everybody else got, whether you did anything or not. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ ain't a communist. And he ain't socialistic. And he don't give a rip. If you turn around don't do nothing, he ain't doing nothing for you. Amen. He just like that. Amen. That's Jesus Christ. We need to get these things in our minds. But I found out investing in things. Now, this sounds hard, but it's the truth. I watch people going through stuff and going through, and I watch them, I'm thinking, you ain't pushing like you really want to get this thing. You're not going after this thing. And it's requiring going after. It's requiring sitting on some side. I'm heading for this. This is where I'm going. And this, I'm going to act in this direction. I'm going to do in this direction. Whatever it takes for this direction for me to do it, I'm going to do that. And I've learned that over the years of practicing that those things as we have in the scriptures. We've already talked about people. We talked about the woman with the issue of blood. Difficult. I mean, she can be stoned for doing what she's doing according to the law. Put to death. And she goes, pushes through a multitude. When Jesus said, who touched me? And the disciples said, don't you see this crowd pressing on you? This town, they aren't turning around 6 foot distancing with their COVID masks on. These people are pushing and shoving. I want you to think about it. These people are pushing and shoving, touching Jesus, and ain't nobody getting nothing. Here comes a woman in faith. You think Jesus died for the sick, yet God ain't healing the sick unless they're in faith. God ain't doing it. God, this woman comes pushing. Now, she had to push through the crowd. She had to go through the crowd. We know what happened. I wonder what all those people thought when she turned around and told them, said about she had a blood flow and this and that, she heard about Jesus. I'm sure there was a few in the crowd there, well, she should have been stoned, I'll tell you. Well, Jesus should have never healed her. Jesus didn't heal her. Jesus said, your faith made you whole. Amen. Jesus was just the guy with the anointing. But that anointing didn't work until her faith. You need to understand that. No matter how much the anointing, and especially as believers, God expects, will always expect more out of you than the unbeliever. And especially as spirit-filled people. There's things that you're going to have to walk in that you can't get by. You're not going to because of what you know. You've got to walk in the light of what you know. You have to walk in it. It's one thing is this. I know this. I can't walk in the level concerning healing and finances and things that I did when I was a young Christian and came in the kingdom. I can't go there. You know? I walked there and God blessed me to show me it worked. But as it went on, He expects me to operate at a higher level. There's a more of a perfection I need to operate in. That's life. You know? It's like a guy in training. You know, they have these apprenticeships. When you go through the apprenticeship and start and get the regular job, they don't expect you to keep acting like the apprentice. That's about Christians. They just want to stay apprentice. You know, I'm just always going to be in training, you know. Praise God. You want to arrive at this point in your Christian walk where you become a worker together with Him. Most Christians never arrive at the point where they're workers together with Him. They're always just the baby, let me sit on daddy's lap and that stuff. No, I'm going to tell you, I'm in the business. Amen. That's what you need to do. We develop and get in the business. We become workers together. I found this out. When you become a worker together with Him, there's more benefits. There's more there's places you'll go in revelation that other people won't go. People who get a step in these areas, they will see things from the scriptures that others don't see. There's no need for the other ones to see them. There's no need for them. There's no need for more revelation when you don't walk in the revelation you had. There's no need. There is zero need. The Holy Spirit's a revealer of the Word. That's why I'm talking about these things, these actions. The way we act and what we do is a huge part of our faith life and our faith walk. Hallelujah. Acting, living a life like God's real. Amen. Not being ashamed of other people, what they think of it, what they think of you. Amen. I want to read here quickly from Luke, the 5th chapter, a story, because I've used this story many times in teaching in the areas of healing, but we want to look at, because we're dealing with the areas of actions, and I want you to see this on here with this individual. In Luke, the 5th chapter, in verse 17, says, now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees, teachers of the law, sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So in other words, the power of God is present. They're there, so we know this. Understand this. This is nothing strange or nothing new because of Jesus being there. We need to understand this. Is God everywhere? We have from Scripture, He is. He's everywhere. Do you think God goes places without His power? Do you think healing power? In other words, power is present to heal. I know the Lord dealt with me in that. He said, when you tell people, you minister to them, you always tell them, the power of God is present right now to heal you. It's here. Why? Because God's here. The power is present to heal. See, people are going to think the power is present if they feel something, or there's some kind of special thing that happens in the meeting, or it's something. No, it's present whether I feel. I don't need a goosebump. I don't need a thing and all. No matter where I go or what am I, the Bible says, where can you go to get away from the presence of the Lord? Can you go to hell? And he don't know about that there? You're hidden out? No, it's not. Every place you go, God is. See, God's not, we talk about God and the creation and that stuff. But God's everywhere, and everything that it is His stuff. And get that in your idea. So we want to live in this knowledge. Now, it's present to heal them, but we're going to find this out. Only one person gets healed. No matter how, see, all that power present, power is present to heal. But people ain't getting healed. See, everybody thinks about, oh, get somebody the great anointing, then it's going to, people ain't thinking right. They need to sit down and read the Bible. Read the Bible, because to me, when I found out the presence of God was always there, I'm not waiting for something. Hallelujah. He's waiting for me to take a hold of it. Hallelujah. See, the woman with the issue of blood, she had heard about Jesus, so she had to get to Jesus. Because that's what she knew. She could only act in faith in what she knew. So if I get to Him, I can get it. If I can get down and touch the hem of His garment. She heard about people touching His garment. If I get down there and do that, I'll get healed. So what she acted on is what she had heard. See, when I heard the power of God is present to heal all the time, I realized I didn't have to get to something special. The power's here. What I need to learn to do is how to operate in faith so I can take a hold of that power. It's here. It's just like electric here. No matter how many electrical outlets they put around here, you have to plug into them. See, you can get there and you can set a electric. We could take that fan sitting back there running. If you just took that fan and sit that there and didn't plug it in, it's still an electric fan, but it ain't doing nothing. It must be plugged into. Faith is how you plug into God. This is how you hook up to the power of God. It's by faith. That's God's. Your plug is faith, plugging it into God's power. Whatever that power, whatever it is if you need from God, it comes in that manner. Faith is that thing that plugs in. Well, it said, then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in, because of the crowd, they went up on the house and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst of Jesus. Now, here's what it says now. Verse 20, when he, this is Jesus, saw their faith, he said to them, man, your sins are forgiven you. When he saw their faith, what did it? He saw faith. Faith. We make faith visible. We make faith visible. Our actions, and we need to understand this. I've learned this over the years, being around people talking about being in faith, and I think, I don't see anything about them that I see faith. They're not acting like they got something. They act like they're trying to get something. One of the things I've never cared for is the teachers on the areas of faith, I wish they would stop saying, we're believing for something. No, that Bible don't tell you to believe for a thing. It tells you to believe you receive something. It's a total difference. If you're believing for it, you don't believe you received it yet. You're waiting to the day you receive. You think the day you receive it, then that's when it shows up. No. The day that you believed you receive it is when it starts working for you. Mm-hmm. Only then. When you believe you receive it, at that time, when I believe if I was sick and I was believing I received my healing, at that time when I believed I received it, my healing is in the works. That's what you have to believe. My healing's in the Word. Jesus said, if you believe you receive it, you'll have it. In other words, I'm going to have it. It's coming to me. It's already in the works. It's working. Because I believed I received it. No matter what it is, whether it's healing, whatever it is that you're believing concerning God, the day that you believe you receive it, it's already working for you. It's already coming to you. That thing's coming to pass. You set it in motion. See, people aren't taught that. It's all this bit about everybody's focusing on the end result. And they're not believing it. That's not my job. God is end result. That's His job. I can't heal me. Why would I be believing Him if I could? Wouldn't be no point to me believing Him for Him. I don't need Him if I can do it. But I need Him to do that. My job is this, is to believe I receive it and act like it. That's my job. That's your job. Your job is not worrying about the other side of it. This is what everybody gets on the God side. We're trying to bring the God side, make the God side work, and aren't doing our side. See, getting on our side, get over there, believe you receive it, it's working. See, if I believe it's working, now I'm going to change how I'm going to act or what I'm going to do from this time on. Because now, see, my healing, lay hands on the sick, they're recovering. That you need to believe instantly you're recovering. I'm recovering now. Hallelujah, I'm recovering. And most people say, I'm believing for my healing. Bible didn't tell you to do that, knucklehead. Read the Bible. Thank God, I pray that the people teach it, but they need to get clear about this stuff. You believe from that time on, you're recovering. I'm getting better. Say, boy, your body's saying, well, you idiot, I don't feel a bit better. Say, I don't care what you say. Shut up. Hallelujah. I'm recovering.
Amen.
I'm getting better. See, you need to get that in your mind. See, people aren't doing that. You know, these are simple things. The Bible is so simple, people got it complicated. They try to turn it into something because you can't make it 15 steps. It's just a couple of them and you got it. You know, it isn't some kind of God doesn't... You know, the Lord Jesus told Kenneth Hagin this. If somebody teaches things and they're very complicated to understand, he said, I never showed it to him. That's what he told him. He said, my word's not complicated. It's been complicated by people trying to act like geniuses. We're not to be geniuses. You do your part, God will do His. You can always count on Him.
Amen.
One thing is I know, He will do His part. Ed focuses on His part. This is my part to do this. Believe in our receiving and act like I got something. Act like I got it. Hallelujah. See, I got hands laid on me. You know, I'm recovering. Hallelujah. I'm recovering.
Amen.
And your body's saying, I'm not. I feel worse. Your body's saying that. You know, my body might be tired. Don't matter. You have a choice. You can talk to your body. Or you can say, well, hallelujah. I'm recovering. Glory to God. Hands were laid on me. I believe I received my healing. I'm getting better. Glory to God. See, that's the place you want to go. See, you want to go there and you want to stay there at that place. Hallelujah. Sometimes I've had to walk around thinking, believing I'm recovered, getting better, and I'll tell you what, things didn't get better at all, man. They just got to get worse. Hallelujah. But you walk around, praise God. I believe it, so this is what it is. No matter what is it? This is it. Hallelujah, I'm getting better. Glory to God. Well, the getting better showed up. But it don't show up when you're sitting around there, well, you know, it's like people do this stuff. They say, well, you know, I'm believing God, I received it, now I'm believing for the manifestation. No place in the Bible tells you to believe for manifestation. How people got that and taught that, I don't know. There's no place in the Bible. See, people ain't listening to the Holy Spirit, the teacher. You're not believing for the manifestation. Your job is to believe you received it. That's your job. The manifestation's God's side. Hallelujah. And He will do His side. That's what you got to be convinced of that. If you're not convinced of that, you know your actions, nobody's going to see your faith. This guy, they believed Jesus could heal. They believed if they can get this guy, they can get to him, this guy will get healed. So they're believing. They're believing the right stuff. And you know what? Their actions prove them out. What do you think of going up and tearing the roof off of a place? Going up to, you know, and over there in Israel, you know, it would rain and somebody tear your roof off and that stuff. You know, but they went up, took the tiling off the roof to drop him down in the inside. They didn't say, you know, well, this is it's too hard, we can't get in, so let's go home. Everybody's there, and then, I've watched people do that. Oh, we go; these meetings are so crowded and everything there. I'll go home and stay sick and die. Go ahead. Well, that's what's going to happen. It's too difficult. No, just like this guy. How would you like somebody to take you up and drop you through the ceiling? You're laying there and you're paralyzed. You can't do a thing. You don't think there'd be some fear in that? Man, I know people, man, they get scared riding in an elevator. Preachers and preachers' wives. I've said this before. I've gone to numbers of meetings and that stuff. You stay in hotels and get on the elevator of preachers. And they'll sit there and they'll talk about how they hate riding in elevators, being in this closed-in space. And I think, dear God, get off the elevator, you moron. What spirit are you filled with?
Amen.
Scared of an elevator? You ought to figure something's wrong with your head. Something's wrong going on that fell with a spirit. Well, what spirit gave you that afraid of elevator thing? Well, it wasn't the Spirit of God. I'll tell you, if I was afraid of that elevator, you know what I'd do? I'd get and ride that thing all day, up and down on that thing. Say, flesh, stay scared all you want. I'm riding. No, that makes me uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable. I don't want to go up to the top of that building to look out because it makes me uncomfortable. As long as your flesh runs you, it'll own you. It will own you. There's no, I want to say this about fear. Fear doesn't stay in one area of your life. You have a fear and you may see it seems obscure out here, but I'll tell you, it'll eat into other areas of your life and bring fear. You don't ever, fear is the devil and his operation. You don't ever let that seed in you. You keep it out. Oh, your flesh will want to do it. But you, I'll tell you what, you keep messing around with it in your flesh and it'll get into your heart. And after a while, your heart's afraid. Try to walk in faith with a fearful heart. Don't you allow it. Always deal with fear as an ugly, bad thing, and it's not good. That goes good while we handle rattlesnakes or anything like that. We're doing that kind of stuff. There's things you do in the natural, just have good sense not to do things. But you know what? Don't get fearful. People who are fearful get hurt. They do. People who are fearful. I've watched more people get hurt in a panic rather than from the thing they were afraid of. People have done more things, shot themselves, had car accidents. People driving down the road and a bee in the car. A darn bee in the car, people will go nuts and go kill themselves and other people because they're insane. All because, so scared of a bee. What's a bee going to do to me? I mean, sting me? This has happened, you know, dear Lord. Get over yourself, knucklehead. You know, pull the car over. No. Fear is a terrible thing. It is. It's panic. Saying, I'm getting away. I'm not going to do this. I'm not let this thing control you. Because what happens? It starts in your life. You get in any time and a place where you get in, where you think something's going to hurt you, which will happen. You'll get sick, and after a while, that fear will be over there on that side. Afraid you're going to die. See, overcoming in those areas. Those fears will get so noisy, you can't even hear your heart. Your heart wants to go in the right direction, but you can't hear your heart because that fear is screaming and running your life. You don't want to go to that place. Things you have to deal with. These guys, Jesus could see their faith. One of the things that I love here, Jesus says, and I want you to get a hold of it, said when he said to the guy, your sins are forgiven, he said, the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sin but God alone? He says, but when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or say, rise up and walk? Which is the easiest to do? Well, I found this out, and I've talked about this numbers of times because the years I teach the life of Christ in Bible school, did for numbers of years. This was one of the areas that I always deal with people. I take them this. Well, what's the easiest to do? Say your sins are forgiven or rise up and walk. In other words, what's easier to say sins are forgiven or healed? Which is easier? Is it easier to get your sins forgiven or is it easier to get healed? 99% of Christians believe it's easier to get your sins forgiven. They believe that, a drop the hat. And yet you work like crazy to try to get a Christian healed. Why? It's the way you believe. It's not biblical. The same faith that heals, the same faith that forgives sin, same faith is the same faith that baptizes you in the Holy Ghost. It's the same faith. It's not different. I remember I learned as a young Christian, Kenneth Hagin talked about that, God had given him a special healing anointing, but he said he found this out. He would have people come up to be healed, and they'd get healed and filled with the Holy Ghost. And he realized then that, the same anointing that heals is the same anointing that'll fill you with the Holy Ghost. It's the same thing. It's the same Spirit. So he said, we just started dealing with it different. He said, I started operating areas. I'd set people aside specifically sometimes for healing and baptism of the Holy Ghost. But I said, I understood. It was the same Spirit. It's not something different. See, the same Spirit that forgives sin, the same thing that God did in forgiveness of sin is the same thing as healing. It's all the same, whatever it is, it's the same. You got to get in your mind. See, I can get healed as quick as I can get my sins forgiven. Just as quick as a Christian, I can confess 1 John 1:9. I can confess my healing in the same manner and get it just like that too. It's not any different. Now, I used to do this, and this is what I did in the exams. I would give exam, and every exam I would put and ask this question after I had taught it and gone over and over, and I taught it, and the majority of the students would always get it wrong on the test. They'd say, oh, yeah, it's easier to get your sins forgiven than get healed. Why? It is so ingrained in Christianity. We're so ingrained religiously, we read the Bible, we don't even see what it says. We're so ingrained to what somebody else has said. You look at it and say, praise God. It's just as easy for me to get healed as it is. Get that in your mind. Get that over. You know, say that. Get it on your voice. It's nice on a page, but it'd be better if you believed it. It'd be better if you said it. Is it better if you talk like that? You know what? And it's better if you tell people that. Jesus will heal you as quick as He'd forgive you your sin. As quick as you could believe to be born again, He'd heal you too. There are so many people that are taught right, and preach to right, that by some ministries, that when people come to get saved, they get healed. Because they teach it the same way, together. The sick come and get saved and healed at the same time. Boy, I'd hair lip the devil. He don't want you to find that out. You can get saved and healed, delivered at the same time. Man, we got to get something else going. Hallelujah. Well, when Jesus taught, the guy says, that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin. So in other words, if you want to know, now think what he says here. So you can know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sin. He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, rise, take up your bed and walk and go to your home. Healing. Jesus said healing is the sign that God forgives sin. I wonder if Jesus is right or all these ministers are right. I like John G. Lake. He said, Jesus said it. He said, I ain't interested in anybody else has to say on the subject. I'm not interested in half these people have to say about things. Jesus said it. He is the author and finisher of my faith. Jesus is not a man. Amen. Jesus said, I'm going to prove to you I can forgive sin. I'm going to heal. It's the proof. You know, the Jews didn't know that. Here they are sitting. They don't know. They have a covenant of healing, but they think it's less important than forgiveness of sin. Jesus just said, hey, I heal some men know I forgive. See, we need to ring that healing dinner bell, don't we? We need to be ringing that one. Why? People know the goodness of God. They'll experience the goodness of God. Hallelujah. So I just want you to get this is the whole emphasis I want you to get a hold of here today. It's about these actions. If we see these things in the Scripture, they're true. Get within yourself. I mean, God is a healer. When the Lord spoke to me back as a young Christian, I mean, I wasn't even a few months old as a Christian, and said to me, He said, the number one thing I want with my people, it's His people who are born again and stuff, number one, I want them healed. I want them well. He said to me, Satan, the devil robs them. He said, he makes them sick so they can't do the things that I want them to do. And he said, and he robs them of their finances because their money's going to doctors and things, all this stuff. See, sickness is a thief. We treat it like a friend. Like it's, oh, when somebody's sick, it's like, oh boy, we got to, oh, this person's the special. People don't even mind being sick today. My words, I can get off and get sick and, you know, I can get off work and I can do all kinds of things, I can do this, I can do that. And just, people don't even mind. I know, I've run into people. And they do that. They don't mind being sick. You know? I mean, they'll even lie about being sick to get off work. Christians, a lie. to get off work. It's like, I can't do that. That's denying my faith. And it's a slap in the face to Jesus Christ, too. Number one, I'm a liar. And then God, when I do get in trouble, heal me in spite of my lying. Oh, hallelujah. This is good preaching, folks. Hallelujah. But see, let's get thinking. I mean, let's get our thoughts. Get your thoughts over here clear. Sickness and disease, look at it for what it is. We can focus on the problem, and that's what we do our society. Our society spends all its money focusing, raising money, trying to use money to get rid of sickness and disease. Have we done a good job at that? We're spending trillions. And are less people sick? No. And I ain't got nothing to do against helping people. Got nothing against that. But wouldn't it be good if over on this side, see, start talking the goodness of God. God's a healer, and God will heal. That's His nature. It's nature for God to bless. In fact, you got born again on the day that you received Jesus Christ. You were blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Everyone. You don't have to get down the road and get real spiritual, and you know, after 27 years and you walked right. Heck, you know what does that turn out to be? Ain't nobody get them. Ain't nobody that good. Nobody get you. First day out, I was blessed with every spiritual blessing. I was redeemed from the curse of the law the day I got born again. Read the curse of the law. It's every sickness and disease. And even list at the end of it, anything that ain't mentioned here that's ugly and bad, it's part of it. It says, you know, if it ain't mentioned here and it ain't good, you're redeemed from it. See, you've been redeemed from sickness. See, we get over redeemed from sin, redeemed from sin. We don't even want to talk about redemption. If you are not redeemed from the manifestations that sin brings, who cares if you're forgiven? Who cares? Didn't produce nothing. Forgive my sin, but yet I got to live the penalty of it. I'm paying for it. Don't tell me you forgave me. The whole point of redemption is redeemed from it. The church preaches today we're redeemed to sickness and disease so God can teach us. No, you're redeemed from it. See, get these thoughts in your mind, the goodness of God. God is always good. I may not be all the time. I know to do good, but sometimes I don't. But in other words, but living for God is good. So you got to keep Him in the right perspective. Don't take Him, you know, and bring Him down to the lower, you know, human thing. Jesus Christ is perfect. He ain't missed it. Someday we'll have a body like His and we'll get a whole lot better. But there's one thing, as I know this, I'm going to have to still renew my mind after I got, because I tell you what, I surely don't know everything. Glory to God. I'm amazed the little I know. But see, we need to keep ourselves over to things. But God's good. If God wants to, if I operate in faith, God will always respond to my faith. Get that within yourself. When you believe you receive something, God goes to work immediately to bring that thing to pass. God is automatically working to do that. Hallelujah. Maybe next week, I'm going to talk about this because there's something I said back in the beginning in this teaching that we're going to talk about. That's this. There's things in the natural that you can do. We like to categorize everything over here, you know, as divine healing. Is you get healed, you know, with nothing from the natural standpoint. But you need to understand this. You're living in the world here, and there's things that you can do naturally that'll cause you problems. Not just spiritual problems, physical problems. Cause you problems. Things in the natural. We want to talk about that because there's people that... There's the extremes that are taught, everything over here in the areas is spiritual, and we don't, you know, I do natural things that don't matter. Well, no, natural things can cause you major problems of doing things. You can be sick and you will not get healed because it isn't a matter of manifestation of healing. You're doing something that's making you sick, and until you deal with that, you could get better. There's things that people don't need divine healing on it. They need to do some things to get themselves well. Let me put it this way. Over in the Philippines, years ago, there was one of the islands in the Philippines. Loads of the children were blind. And doctors started going to this place, started checking this thing out, and went in there, and they found this out. It was a vitamin A deficiency. Now, I know Christians say, well, we're going to go in here, we'll pray for them, and they'll get their sight. If they got their sight, they all went blind again because they had vitamin A deficiency. And they went in there and gave them vitamin A, and all of them... sight started coming back. And over time, they started all getting their sight back. See, there's natural things that you can do. You see, let me say this. God put in your human body a system that heals, causes it to heal itself. God did. So all healing isn't tied just to the spiritual side. God put in your body. He made it. God, this is what God did. Why would God, if we were supposed to only have divine healing, what did He do put that thing in there for? Why did He do that? Why'd he create a body that would heal itself? All I got to say is, most Christians don't think two minutes about stuff. God, see, I think about this stuff. I think, hold it, God created me and he put it in. So there's a point to this thing here in this. Now, let me just say this. I'm not going to be teaching or going over to people, you know, they get into ridiculous diets and all this kind of stuff and their fads and all that kind of stuff and things like that. You can get in, get out over your head. But Fred Price's wife, Betty, she came down with liver cancer. She had liver cancer. This was years ago. And they were standing and believing God together, and she'd get better and that stuff. And she was just believing for healing and wasn't going to go to the doctor. And Fred said he came up, and Fred came to the point, and Fred talked about it. He said, I came to the place, he said, I realized this. He said, the devil can't come and attack you anytime he wants to. If he did, he'd just be on us Christians. I mean, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, he'd be killing all of us if he could. He can't do that. There's things that we can keep the devil off of. That doesn't mean you're going to go through life and ain't another thing going to happen. But he realized that, and he said, then he said to her, there's something wrong going on here. You know what it was. Well, he said they were praying, and they weren't getting anywhere on this thing. She's getting worse instead of better. So they were praying, and the Lord spoke to her and said, told her to do this. She didn't want to do this. He said, there's a doctor, he said, a cancer specialist is in your congregation. He said, told Betty, I want you to go see him and do whatever he tells you to do. He said, if you do it, you'll get well. Well, she went, you know, and he was going to put her on chemotherapy, and she said, boy, she really didn't want to do that and that stuff, but the Lord told her, go do it. See, there was a point to all of this. So God may put you through certain things because he needs to get through to your hard head. And I'm just serious. Because what they found out is this doctor got talked to her about her problem was, this. She was the reason that she was had this cancer. Because of her diet. She never drank water. She only drank coffee. And she had certain foods, cooked food. She never did any raw thing like a salad or nothing. She only had certain cooked things that she ate, and that's all she did. And he told her, he said, you've made your liver toxic. He said, your liver. He said, and this, here's a guy sits, and he's sitting in a church, preaches divine healing. He said, if God healed you tomorrow, he said, you'd be sick and die later on anyhow, the same thing. God healed your liver. See, are you doing something? See, you know, you just can't eat ice cream all the time. You know that? Did anybody ever tell you? You can't. See, people do things that hurt themselves. They're doing things that harm themselves physically. You know, people do crazy things. Today is one of these things that people try all kind of extreme stuff that they do. And, you know, we're going to have to climb the highest mountain. I just saw a guy, you know, in Scotland, fell off a 3,000-foot mountain and that stuff. He's 80 years old. Well, happy birthday. You know? But people have got to do extreme stuff and things, and they go out and do things. You know, so you're going to, people say, well, believe God. Well, listen to God too. Don't just say, I believe God. You pay attention. You might set yourself to go in a direction to believe, and God ain't in it. You best find out, you know. See, people do things. They don't pay any attention. They do things and put themselves in areas of danger. Like how many people, if you've ever thought of how many people have died in places trying to get themselves in one of their little photo shots holding their phone and have fell off something and died. It is all the time happening. All the time it's happening. People, why? That is such the cool, oh, my face standing here with this and here I is, you know. Like who cares? But see, people do dangerous stuff and do dumb things and stupid things. And they get killed doing it, doing dumb. Don't think about it. And then people say, well, God took them. No, they didn't. They killed themselves. It's called suicide by stupid. That's what it is. Suicide by stupid. It's happening all the time. But people like to point at God, you know, and this and that. No, it's not. You can't do stupid, you know. In my life, God helped me in some stupid, but I tell you, you can't keep doing stupid. They're going to put you in a body bag. That's what they're going to do. And then somebody has to get up on the surface and lie like you were a decent person when you were an idiot. No, stop saying, you know that knucklehead wouldn't quit until he killed himself? Hallelujah. Praise God. What we're doing today, we're going to have communion. But I want you to get this one thing. We can talk all these things of faith, but as I said before, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. There is nothing that takes the place of fellowship with God. You need to be able to follow the Spirit of God. You see, this is about fellowship. Communion's about this. We're going to walk a life of faith. It isn't something we just pull scriptures out and walk. We're walking in union with God. Fellowship is what makes the Word real. It's not just things on a page. This is not some mechanical thing that we do. This is a life that's lived. This is a life that we walk around and live. And I want you to get this. We're talking about fellowship. And this was this as a reminder where our salvation came from, but who we're tied to. This is who we're tied to, Jesus Christ. God put the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit in you. You know, Jesus said, when I go, I'm going to send you another comforter. That word another in the Greek means one of the same kind. God's going to send one just like me. And I want to say this to you. If you don't know the Holy Spirit, you don't know Jesus. You can't know Jesus without the Holy Spirit. He's the revealer of Jesus. He's the revealer. There's some experiences I had concerning in the Word and different things and the Holy Spirit Himself that I really come to realize is the need of the Holy Spirit knowing Jesus. It's what it is. I've heard people say this. Well, I know Jesus, but I don't know the Holy Spirit. Say, you don't know Jesus. You don't know the Holy Spirit. You don't know. You might have an idea of a thing. You can pick up things about Jesus just skimming the Word, but that don't make you know Him. You can sit around and read books about George Washington. That don't mean you know George Washington. You don't know his real personality or anything. The Holy Spirit, you get to know the personality of Jesus. It's one thing. See, I know the personality of the Holy Spirit. It's just like Jesus. And the Holy Spirit loves Jesus. He loves Jesus more than anything else. That Jesus made this statement, said, I'll forgive you for anything. But He said the Holy Spirit won't. You treat Jesus wrong. You treat Jesus badly. The Holy Spirit may not like you. There's one thing as I've learned, and I had an opportunity and experience to understand the relationship between Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And there's one thing the Holy Spirit is stuck on Jesus. Man. If anything He loves is Jesus. He loves Jesus. So we need to get our thinking and stuff clear. This is why we take what Jesus said, it's true. You know, we can get off in our own teaching and over things the way we think they are. Get over to the Bible says that the Holy Spirit teaches what Jesus said. I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit will open the Word to you, and I'll tell you, He'll make it simple. You want to get built in faith? He'll build you in faith. Amen. And it's through a fellowship. It is. It's not just something that happens just reading. It's not about just reading a book. This book is alive and it's real. And the God, the Holy Spirit, the one knows every one of these words and can reveal anything from this book to you is living inside of you. Amen. And He'll make Jesus so real to you that my words, no matter what happens in the earth, you couldn't believe Jesus would do you wrong. You couldn't believe Jesus wouldn't help you. You couldn't believe. You just get so convinced. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He'll teach you to respect Jesus Christ. He teaches you to honor the Word. He teaches you those things. They become real to you. Jesus becomes something that inside of you is not, there's a real person living in me. Hallelujah. When the Holy Ghost is talking to me, it's Jesus talking. Hallelujah. Because He don't say anything but what Jesus says. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want you to understand this as a Christian. Your spirit knows more than your head does. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit's inside revealing things to your spirit that ain't got to your head yet. That's why you want to become inside-minded. Inside-minded. I'm serious. There's revelations that your spirit has picked up by the Holy Spirit, but also your spirit's in tied to the spirit realm. It's things that it knows and understands. And the Holy Spirit will make those things real to you, and He'll show you this stuff, and He'll put it in His categories it belongs. He'll reveal it to you. Hallelujah. That, you know, the spirit realm's a real place. It's easy to walk by faith when the spirit realm's real to you. It's not easy if it's just this vague place out here. It's not vague. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Father, I just want to say thank you today as we're going into your to take these elements. I am just so thankful of your great love and mercy to us through Christ Jesus. That Father God, the great work that Jesus Christ did through His death, burial, and resurrection brought us all the good things of God. Hallelujah. Just as you redeemed man and saved us from our sin and caused us to be born again through the power of the Holy Spirit, I thank you also. You healed this body. You delivered us. Lord God, you planned a full salvation, and it was all given, hallelujah, at the new birth. Every bit of it was given. We're not trying to get it. It was given. And we just thank you today, Father, that that revelation would come to us strongly in the name of Jesus. Lord God, that those things dawn on our minds and become so real to us, hallelujah, of the greatness of our salvation, of how much a wonderful, loving God did for humanity, hallelujah. And Father, I know this fact that we don't deserve it, but hallelujah, you ain't dealing with us about the deserving things. We're just supposed to receive that it's true and real, and it belongs to us, and it was given by your great grace and mercy, hallelujah. And we just say thank you today. Thank you this day that we're blessed. Hallelujah. It's just with Israel, when they would follow the law, they would be blessed coming in and going out. Well, surely we've already been redeemed from the curse. We're the blessed of the Lord. Hallelujah. Surely in every area of our lives, Father God, that we're blessed. And as we take these elements today, Father, that we would be reminded of the wonderful grace and mercy that you showed on us, that we're a blessed people. Hallelujah. And Father God, the church is the most blessed group in the world. There's nothing like it. There's nothing can shine upon the church because it's the church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we just say thank you today for making us members of this great family. Hallelujah. Of this great body. And blessing us. Hallelujah. And pouring us, Lord God, out blessings, surely, Lord God, that we don't even understand or know about yet. Hallelujah. There's more to be revealed here, but yet there's more to come. So we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.